everybody. It's the anointing of God, and that is what it's all about. God's presence in our lives, that river of God's presence in our lives. We are so glad you are joining us today on this radio broadcast, live as always from Clearwater, Florida, and we are in the studio on a beautiful day today. Finally, it's not so cold and nasty around here. So I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We are with you live, as I just said. I'll have a guest join me later. We are excited to continually be on this radio station and to be able to speak the Word of God into your life, into your heart, and into all that concerns you. That's what it's all about. Our slogan at Beacon of Hope Ministries is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that's what it's all about. We're a word ministry. If you know what that means, we're all about the Word of God. We are here to teach you. We are here to support you, to pray for you, whatever it is that we can do to bless your life with God's presence. That's why our opening song is all about the anointing of God in your life, which is the river of God's presence in you. God working in you, changing you, teaching you, being there with you every moment of the day. His word says he will never leave us or forsake us. And isn't that exciting? It is. And we've had a wonderful day at Beacon of Hope Clearwater today. It's been fun. It was a good time in the Word. We're going to talk about this topic that I was teaching on this morning at Beacon of Hope. It's all about God's blessing in your life and in the area of your finances. And it also pertains to some other areas in your life, too. So we're going to get into the Word. If you have a Bible nearby, why don't you grab it? If you have a pen, a paper, I think it'll help you to learn some of these scriptures that will really change your life. This topic is not what I intended to start January of 2011 with, but God began to speak to me about mid-December and told me to wait on the series I had planned for February and to get this taught in January. So we all need to be reminded of what God says to us about our finances. He says a lot, actually. It's all through the Word. It starts clear back in the book of Genesis, where God begins to talk to Abraham and then Noah, and there's so many. You're going to hear some of that today, and we're going to talk about God's desires for you in the area of financial blessing. And we're going to give you scripture to prove and to talk about exactly what we mean here. And we thank Brother Ken. He always gives us a great introduction. And always remember to turn your radio on or your internet prior and listen to Gospel Highlights. It's a good show with Brother Ken for 90 minutes. It's really good. And so we got a lot going on today, and we're excited about what God is doing. We welcome you to visit our website. It is beaconofhopeministries.com, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Ministries, that's an IES on the end of it, .com. And so you go there, you can find out all about the ministry, what we believe in, what we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the miracles and the blessings of God that they are for today, not just 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked this earth. But the miracles that God wants to do in our lives, those are active. They are for now. And we're going to talk about miracles today, and we're going to talk about some financial miracles because God wants to bless your life with miracles. You know, he's not content for you just to go trotting along day by day, never making any progress in your financial lives or your economic situation. God wants to bless you. And so often the devil has sold us a bill of goods, and a lot of us have believed it, that God wants Christians poor. And that is not what the Word says. So we're going to talk about that today. So if you have your Bible, a notebook, a pen, grab it, and we're going to teach in just a few minutes. We've got a new song. It's by the group New Song. It's not a new song, but it is by the group New Song. And the title of it is Miracles. Listen up.
I never saw a man that walked on water. I never heard a voice could calm the sea. Raise the dead or feed 5,000. But in my heart I do believe. I was in a desperate situation, drowning in a sea of my own sin. And it would take a miracle to save me. That's when I reached toward heaven, felt someone touch me. I looked up. Signs and wonders, they miss the greatest miracle of all. Well, it's a miracle of sweet salvation. Well, that's when the God of heaven comes down to live inside of someone's heart. Oh,
believe in miracles. That is a good song. That's a great song. I believe in miracles. And you are a miracle, dear one. God's doing wonderful things in your life, and he wants to do more miracles in your life. I love the line in that verse or in that song that says, the greatest miracle is salvation. And it is, where we invite Jesus Christ into our hearts as our personal Lord and Savior. And we say, God, I believe that you are the Son of God, Jesus. I believe that you came to this earth and died on a cross for me. And I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. And when you do that, your life changes completely. You are not the same person after you pray that prayer of salvation as you were before. Because when you accept that greatest miracle of all, which is the salvation of your soul, you start a new life. You begin to think differently. You begin to believe different things. You begin to behave differently. You actually begin to trust God in a way that you never have in your life before. Today, we're talking about the power of prosperity, learning to trust God for our finances. Look with me at Psalm 116, verse 1. I love God. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love God because he listened to me. He listened as I begged for mercy. Any of you out there begging for mercy financially right now? Go ahead and talk to God about it. You should. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before him. If you take notes, write this down. It is perfectly fine and wonderful, and God wants you to tell him what your situation is. In fact, the psalmist says here in Psalm 116 that he laid out his case before him. Some of you need to do that financially. I've done that. I've done it even recently. Laid out my case before God and said, okay, God, here's what I've got coming in. Here's what I have going out in bills. Here's the difference. What are we going to do about it, God? It is okay to be that bold with God and say, here's my situation. Let's go on down. In about verse 3 or 4, In the Message Bible, the psalmist says, "Please, God, I cried out, save my life." Now look at the next line. I love this. God is gracious. Oh, praise God. God is gracious. What does that mean? He's full of grace. What is grace? God's unmerited favor. God has favor for you. We're going to talk about that today because if you take notes, write this down. Psalm 512 says this. David wrote this. God, you surround me with favor as with a shield. Some of you need to understand that you have favor in your economic life, too, in your financial life, in your business, whatever it is you do, or in the job where you go to every day. God says you have favor, and that is Psalm 5, verse 12. Write it down somewhere. David said, God, you surround me with favor as with a shield. It's like a shield walking all around you. So write that down. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right. Our most compassionate God. I love those verses. That's talking about the very nature of Almighty God. And what does it say about God? It says that he's compassionate. We just played that song that says, I believe in miracles. Okay? And we should believe in miracles. Some of you out there listening today in Radio Land need a miracle financially. This is your day of blessing. God wants to talk to you today during this radio show. If you know somebody, a friend, a relative that's hurting financially, get them on the phone and say, tune into this. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, you're listening to us on 1340 AM. Also, the radio stations up in Arkansas and that area, Mississippi, you're listening on the radio. But you can also listen any place in the United States right now. In the world. Right, Bill? Any place in the world. That's huge, the globe. And all you do is go to www.tantalk1340.com. Actually, on the webpage, you're going to see our picture right there. You're going to see our little ad there for, my smiling picture? Yes. For our show, Living the Good Life. But anyway, you can call a friend any place. You can call somebody in England right now and say, why don't you tune in here? It's www.tantalk1340.com and push the listen button. Okay, here's what we want to say. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right. Our most compassionate God. Now listen to this next line. God takes the side of the helpless. Have any of you ever felt helpless when it comes to your finances? You just feel like you're in a hole, you're digging and you're working, but it just seems like you're getting nowhere. We're going to talk about that today and what you need to do to get out of that hole financially. Look at the next line. When I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. Some of you are at the end of your rope financially or have been. God has answers for you today. God has answers for you today. Verse 7 of Psalm 116. I said to myself, relax and rest. This is cool. This is what we need to say to ourselves. Relax and rest. God has showered me with blessings. Woo! Some of you are going, I don't feel like I'm very blessed. In fact, I feel like I'm just the opposite of blessed. I feel like everything I touch just doesn't work out well. Or some of you may be saying, I just can't ever seem to get ahead. I can't seem to get a break. I can't seem to ever win financially or be blessed. Now, we've got to change what comes out of our mouth. And I'm going to talk more about that on this show today. The psalmist says here, we got to relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. Some of you say, I don't feel very blessed. Well, by the end of this show, I hope you will have the resources, the scriptures to know what to do and how to make the changes in your life. And verse 9 of Psalm 116, I'm striding in the presence of God, alive in the land of the living. I stayed faithful. Even though I was bedeviled, in other words, even though I was going through a really rough time, and the psalmist said, it seemed like I had a ton of bad luck, despite giving, and we've got to get to the point that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the psalmist David said in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil, okay? Being broke is evil. Being broke is not good. Having no money, no resources, that's not good. Okay? And we go further into Psalm 116, and the psalmist begins to say, wow, what can I give back to God? This is verse 12. For the blessings he's poured out on me. So we need a mind change. We need an attitude shift, dear ones. We need to remember and realize that God wants to bless us financially, that it is the devil who steals from us. Now, some of you may say, are you sure about that? Yes, the devil wants you broke. Why does he want you broke? Because if you're broke, you're not going to be giving tithes and offerings to God's kingdom and to help save souls. You're going to say, oh, I can't afford to do that. I can't put an offering in church. I don't want to go to church because I don't have an offering. I don't want to give because I don't have any money. I can't pay my light bill, or I can't pay this. I can't pay that. God wants you prosperous, my dear friend. He wants you to be able to have seed. We call it seed, and we're going to talk about it more during this show. God wants you to have the resources to plant into God's kingdom. And there are good places to plant finances, and there are places that nothing's going to happen if you do plant anything. There are places where the Word of God isn't preached. That's not a good place to put your finances. A good place to put your finances is where the Word of God, the true Word of God, is being preached and taught, where people are learning what God has for them, where people are being healed and set free from the junk of their past, where people are being told and taught that the devil will always try to keep you under. The devil will try to keep you under discouragement, defeat, lack, poverty. Those are all the things the devil wants you under. The devil wants you under despair, discouragement. The devil does not want you saying, wow, God is my source, and I know that God's going to supply every one of my needs. The devil doesn't want you to feel that God's going to supply for your needs. But God does want you to know that he supplies every need that you have. And he does. Let's look at Philippians 4:19. You can turn there in your Bible, or I'll just quote it to you. Philippians 4:19 is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said this: my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again. It's Philippians 4:19. Now, dear friend, we got to get this down on the inside of us, because Paul said, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Who's the one supplying the needs? God. How many of them? All of them. According to what? According to what God did through his son Jesus, sending him to this earth. He died on the cross, not just for your sins. Jesus died on the cross for your sicknesses, your pains, your sorrows. That's Isaiah 53:1-6 or 7. And Jesus died for your poverty. Did you know that? It says in Galatians 3 that Jesus was made a curse. It was put on him. And so that we can live in the blessings of God. Poverty is a curse. Poverty is not a blessing. And a lot of people have been so brainwashed by the devil through the years that they are not convinced that poverty is wrong and is of the devil. In fact, I think a lot of people kind of think, well, God wants me poor. When Carol calls in a little while, we're going to talk about that. God does not want you poor, my dear one. God wants you prosperous. God wants you having all the blessings that you need and all the things you need. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, which if you are in Psalm 116 with me, just go turn right in your Bible and go over a couple books. To the book of Isaiah, go to chapter 55. And let's start with about verse 6 of Isaiah 55. Here's what it says. Seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. He's right here. Dear one, no matter what's going on in your life, maybe you have turned your back on God. Maybe you've been disillusioned or discouraged with churches or God's people. Or maybe you've just said, hey, wait a minute, God just never comes through for me financially. Maybe you've been one of those. Okay. Now God is saying, come on, it's a new day. Let's change this up. Let's turn this around. And so Isaiah 55 verse 6, God says through the prophet Isaiah, seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. You say, well, I don't feel him close at hand. Guess what? God's word says in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. That's James 4, 7 and 8. You can write that on your paper. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Not he might, but he will. He will draw close to you. So when you, let's say that you have had a bad attitude and you've been saying bad things about God and him not taking care of you financially and not providing for you. Here's the first thing to do about that is repent of that and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been giving you a bad rap. And maybe I've done that because I have been ignorant about what your word says about my finances. And today, dear one, today that's going to change for you. We are going to quit giving God a bad rap about our finances, and we're going to understand that God wants to bless us. Every single one of us, God wants to bless us. But it is our responsibility to find out the truth about our finances. It doesn't just drop on you. You got to learn it. You got to seek it out. And so Isaiah 55, 6 says this, seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. And let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. So often we get involved in evil thinking, stinking thinking, and we find ourselves being mad at God because we don't have the money for a light bill. Or we're mad at God because we lost that job. We're mad at God because this didn't happen for us financially or that didn't happen. Now, God's word says we got to let go of all that stinking thinking and that evil thinking. I'm in verse 7 of Isaiah 55. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. Woo, God will forgive you. Right now in your heart, you can just say, God, I'm sorry. I've been blaming you for my lack of finances. I'm sorry, God, that I've put that on you. I think I just haven't known what your word really said. Some of you out there need to repent of that right now, of giving God blame where maybe the blame lands on your own shoulders for not knowing the truth. So we're going to expose the truth here, and we're standing against the lies of the devil. Look at verse 8 of Isaiah 55. God says this, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. Woo. Now, you know what? We so often think we have God all figured out. And God says here in Isaiah, I don't even think the way you think. I don't do things the way you think I should. I do things totally different. You see, God's pattern of prosperity in your life is based on you getting involved with your own prosperity. Did you hear me? Write it down. You need to get involved with your own prosperity and stop blaming God for your lack. You say, preacher, you are talking pretty strong here. Absolutely. So often we blame God. Oh, God, I don't have this and I don't have that and I can't pay that. And God, I'm mad at you because you haven't done what I thought you would do. First thing we need to do is repent of that evil thinking and that way of thinking that says, God, my financial situation is your fault. It's not God's fault. God's given us the tools and the answers right here in his word, which we're going to talk about today. God has given us the way to become prosperous. And part of that starts, number one, if you're writing notes, it starts with us changing our expectation and realizing that God will bless us as we change some behaviors, as we begin to believe God for the miracle. As we begin to line up our finances with what God says in his word that we need to be doing. And it has to do with your seed, your seed. You know, like corn seed and bean seed and all of that. And we're going to talk about it. And so in verse 8 of Isaiah 55, God says this. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. The way I think is beyond the way you think. You see, God's ways of doing things and blessing us financially, a lot of times just don't make sense to us. And that's okay. But here's the deal. We got to quit trying to do it our way. And we have to submit and do it His way. That's what God is saying here. The next line says this. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth. Rain and snow have a function to perform on this earth, right? Rainy days around here in Florida, I like them. We don't get that many of them. I like it when it rains because, it makes my plants so beautiful outside. I love when it rains. You know, the grass gets greener. Right now, we're going through a dry spell in Florida, so we don't get a lot of rain. And so when it rains, it's kind of cool. God uses rain not just in our land and to water our plants, but also the rain of His presence in our lives. His presence in our lives changes us. So just as the rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back till they've watered the earth, doing their work and making things grow and blossom, the rain and the snow produce seed for farmers and food for the hungry. There is seed that is produced because it rains. And then the next sentence, I love this verse, and I'm in Isaiah 55:11, one of my favorite verses, which you need to mark in your Bible. So the words will be that come out of my mouth, says God. They will not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. Oh, my. We are really going to talk about that with my dear friend Carol. Are you on the line from?
I'm on the line, and I'm a hair late, and I apologize for that. But almost everybody that knows me knows that that there are Sundays I do this, but I had unexpected company. So.
Ah, okay. All right. Are we good?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay. Have you heard what I've been teaching on?
No.
Okay. So I need to catch up right now. Okay. All right, I've been teaching about the fact that God does not want us poor, that God wants to bless us, that God's plan for our finances is prosperity, but so often we are ignorant of that, and so we get into evil thinking or stinking thinking, and we begin to blame God for our financial situations when a lot of times it is ignorance in our lives that has kept us from the truth about what God has to say. And I've made a big point here, Carol, and I'll refresh this as review for all those that have already listened, that God says we have responsibility in our finances. We have a responsibility to learn what God's word says about our finances. We have a responsibility to get on board with God's plan for us financially and not be ignorant of the truth, because so often we as believers, we just get into this thing of blaming God because we don't have money for this bill or that bill, instead of saying, okay, God, where have I missed it? What concept am I not getting that I need to get down on the inside of me that's going to help me be prosperous? Does all that make sense, Carol?
Makes total sense to me. Been there and done that.
Mm-hmm. And so here we are. We're in Isaiah 55. We're talking about that God sends rain and snow, and in your case up in Georgia, a lot of snow in the last week.
Oh, good heavens, yes.
But I was talking about how much I love it when it rains in Florida because it just waters our plants and everything becomes tropical and it's beautiful. And God sends rain and snow, and He does that to grow the seed. Okay, the rain and snow, the rain is a metaphor for God's presence in our lives, that God sends His presence into our lives. He sends His anointing into our lives to teach us that we can be prosperous financially. That is His desire for us, that He wants us to not walk in lack. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, in the Hebrew, I shall not lack anything. any good thing. David understood that God wanted us prosperous. And so the rain and the snow come down to water the ground so we'll have the seed. And we can also liken that to the jobs that we have, that we each have, the job we go to that gives us money, or in the case of some people that are retired, then the retirement that, provides for our daily needs. But I just made the point, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And it's time to learn how to tap in to that prosperity.
I think some of the ways we can tap in is to develop a complete surrender to him.
Amen.
There's nothing on this earth that any human being can change if God doesn't want things changed.
Right.
I firmly do believe that he puts us in his hand when we say we've done the best we can, we've tried, and now we're understanding that we're not the ones that are capable of changing.
Yep.
We can't change people. We can't change circumstances unless God is involved in it, in a positive direction anyway. We can make negative changes all we want to, and it only hurts other people. It hurts ourselves and other people, and
right.
ultimately it hurts our relationship with Jesus Christ. In order to be the kind of people he wants us to be, we have to recognize that he is a living water. He comes in and he feeds our soul, and he cleanses us from all the, you know, all the nasty things. Look, when you've got crops in Florida of watermelons and strawberries and corn and all the truck farming done in the Okeechobee area, and all that dust and dirt settles on it, it literally chokes those plants to death.
Right.
Whether it's a house plant or a vegetable plant or a tree, it
right.
begins to choke it after
yeah.
a while.
Mm-hmm.
Its growth will become sometimes diminished, and then
right.
God sends the rain, the living water.
Right.
And it cleanses all of that, and as you said, the earth is refreshed and new and green again. It's the same thing that happens with us. He comes in and he cleanses us.
Ooh.
He takes the dirty spots of our souls and our hearts out, if we allow him, and he cleanses all of that with his living water, which is his word, his truthfulness, his faithfulness to us, his unimaginable love for us.
Amen.
And we are changed internally. And we in turn then become the seed that he has planted in us to go out and save the people that we know and people we don't know, to take the living water of Jesus Christ that we have gained into our world.
Exactly. And on this subject of financial prosperity, Carol, I believe a lot of people have been sold a lie from the devil that God wants us poor. And the poorer we are financially, the more spiritual we are. And, you know, I had a show of hands at Beacon this morning. How many of our people grew up thinking that was right, you know, in the churches they grew up in? How many thought that, yeah, I think that the more spiritual you are, the poorer you are? And Carol, most people in our church had grown up with that kind of mentality. And that is a lie from the devil, you know? It's a lie. God wants to prosper us.
Yeah, it's so far from the truth.
It is so far
it's
from
so
the truth.
It's so far from Scripture. It's
yes.
so far from him. Mm. He does not want us to suffer things. The reason, you know, I think the reason that we go through things, whatever they might be, is that we can trust him even more, lean
right.
on him more,
yes.
learn from him more.
Yes.
But the basic thing is to trust him. We've got to trust God for everything that happens in our life.
Right.
That's a good thing to us. And that when we have times of drought, when we are away from the water, and sometimes we walk away. No, we choose to leave the river of life and walk into the valley of death.
We
That's
do.
That's our choice.
Yeah, and sometimes it happens.
And sometimes we
yeah.
do that.
Yes.
Maybe not understanding the full meaning of it all and the expression of what it is for us to go through those dark, dry, dank times. But all the time that we do that, all the time that we leave the living water, he's there with us. He's waiting for us to say, hey, I need you. This well's gone dry.
What? I totally agree. And I think that when it comes to our finances, so many people have gotten into such a negative mentality. Just turn on TV and that's all you'll hear. The economic woes and how bad things are. Me being a realtor 20 years, I can tell you things are bad and they have been. But that does not mean that God is not still our source, even though we go through as a nation economically difficult times. God still wants to provide for his children. God still wants to make a way where there seems to be no way financially. God still desires to bless us, Carol, and the devil has really sold people a bill of goods that things are so bad and getting worse and not going to get any better. And so people lose hope after a while. They just think, well, God can't, he's not big enough to change this. A miracle's not going to happen for me, you know?
But he's in the miracle business, and we never should forget that. He is in the miracle business, and his timing is impeccable. He comes through at the very last second, only because he will be exonerated and exalted for that.
Right.
We need to remember that. Everything that happens to us is a way to modify and exemplify his glory.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and modify it from the standpoint that it's not us doing
it. He wants to get the glory.
We're not doing anything.
Yes.
We're asking, and then he gets the glory for it. How many times have you seen people, whatever their situation is, whether it's a dire circumstance, someone's home burns, massive tornado, hurricane, whatever, how many people in Florida today can stand up and raise their right hand and testify to the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ through all of the hurricanes? Yes, there was a lot of damage and things, but out of it came people who had never known each other, lived next door to each other, never knew each other. People who had never known the Lord were brought to the Lord by the servants of his that went and helped take care of them.
Exactly.
And rectify the situations as best they can. It's vitally important that we become his feet and his mouth in the world that we walk in. And we can only do that if we have the faith and the love and the trust that he has placed in our hearts.
I totally agree, and I really feel you hit on something here. When we understand that all things do work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, and that is Romans 8:28. When we realize that even though we go through difficult economic and financial times, the good that comes from that is that we must learn to tap into the promises of God that are there for us in his word. We must learn to hang our hat on those promises. And the one I just read, Carol, when you were just coming on, Isaiah 55:11 is one of my favorite verses because it says this. This is God talking. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. And what that is saying is when God's word is spoken on a subject, when you get a verse and you hang your hat on it and you say, okay, I'm choosing to believe you, God, for that Philippians 4:19 is for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Then I can go to God and I can say, Isaiah 55:11 says that the words that come from your mouth, God, are not going to come back empty-handed. They will go and perform what they need to do in my life. So therefore, I claim that all my needs are met according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I can believe that. I can stand on that. Woo!
You know, it's an amazing thing to me how people all over the world live in such poverty.
Right.
And not really know who God is.
Right.
Some people to this very moment have not heard about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's important that we do plant, as one of the things that you had written me a little earlier today, or yesterday, was, you know, in being able to plant our money, our tithes, our seeds into good soil.
Yes. Yes.
From that good soil, from a ministry, if for the people that don't know, we're talking about putting money into a ministry or ministries where there is a need for people to get out. It's taking the Word of God, the Bible, the living Word of God, out into the world and planting it in these different countries and cities and states and provinces or wherever it is.
Right.
And not only do we plant for people who have the ministry of the teaching faith ministries, but we should be planting things that deal with not only teaching people to live well, but we should be growing shepherds. And
right.
we should reach out to the lost and to the depressed
yes.
and the oppressed, the unlearned, the less thans.
Right.
The less thans. I just read an article in today's newspaper up here about a couple of women who are not deaf at all, but their life's work is they're very proficient in sign language, and they've dedicated, these two hearing women have dedicated their life's service to working with deaf people and deaf
wow.
children.
Okay.
That's a ministry.
Absolutely, that's a ministry.
That's putting your faith to work.
Yes, absolutely.
And when we talk about planning ministries in people
yes.
and places and things, you find some place that touches your heart, whether it's your personal church, maybe a church that someone that you know attends, but they are alive and they bring God's word. Every time the door opens, they're encouraging people
right.
to come in. You know, that's planting in good soil.
Amen. You know, years ago when I pastored in Indiana, and some of my Indiana people do listen to this show, so maybe they'll remember this. But I had taken a group to Honduras, and we were there ministering in different churches and groups. And one of the places that we were affiliated with was a Bible school there in Honduras. And they were building dorms for the pastors to come in to be trained. And our church, Cornerstone Ministry in Indiana, we actually decided to pay for the building of one of those dorms, which we did. This was back in, I don't know, the late 80s, early 90s. And we took on that project. I guess it was early 90s. We took on that project and paid for that building to house pastors. And that was planting our money that was coming in to that ministry in Indiana. We took a portion of it and we planted it into that building so that the pastors would have a place to stay. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, Carol, right? When we're planting into people learning the word, like this radio show right here. I mean, this is a good place to plant, you know?
It definitely is. So if we have anybody out there listening and who's saying, Jesus, I wish I knew how to help, how to serve. What can I do? I'm confined to my home, or I don't have a specific church that I attend, but I enjoy this radio show. It's not impossible to become a person who plants their money, their tithes, their gifts, their offering into Beacon of Hope Ministries
Amen.
Radio ministry. It is vitally important because today, for instance, I had an 88-year-old woman in South Carolina call me and say that she was very ill and was in need of certain things. And I said, well, and she told me what the needs were, and I helped her. She was panicked, and I helped her just kind of calm down. I said, honey, may I pray for you? And she said, please do.
Amen.
And, you know, if someone that old
yes.
sitting out there hearing the word, and yet she's confined to a nursing home situation,
yes.
she made the call to me
yes.
for personal prayer.
Praise God.
And
that's what it's all about.
That's
yes.
what it's all about. It's sometimes a one-on-one situation. It's taking somebody by their hand and leading them through the difficult periods of their life with Scripture, with companionship and fellowship of other Christians. And I know that the church now, a Beacon, now goes to a nursing home once a month.
We sure do.
Let me tell you, you cannot possibly believe the outreach that is causing.
It's a blessing. It is a blessing to go to Palm Garden in Clearwater. It's actually right at the corner of Curlew and McMullen Booth. Our dear Jeannie is there. My own mother was there for a few weeks after she fell and broke her hip and her pelvis and her shoulder a few weeks back. But that is such a blessing, the first Sunday of every month, Carol. Our people are going. They are being blessed as they minister to these people. The room is packed. There's usually people out in the hall trying to get in or looking through the windows. And it's just simply sharing the love of Jesus. We're planting into those lives. Woo! And miracles are happening, and people are being blessed, and they always thank us. Listen to this song by Ray Bolts, and then we'll talk some more, Carol, on the other side. Here comes a miracle.
They followed him on dusty roads, wherever he would lead. Multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke the word of faith, you could hear them say, "Here comes a miracle. Here comes a miracle.
In your finances right now. You've tuned in to The Right Show, Living the Good Life today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are talking about the promises of God in His precious word that He wants to bless you. There is nothing that is impossible for God. Carol, we are talking about what God's word says. And one of the first things we've said is that God does provide seed for us to be able to plant. And seed is our finances. It's our talents. It's our time. But in our discussion today, we're talking about our finances, that God gives us seed through our jobs, through our retirement money, whatever it is that our source of income is. God does provide seed. And then what we do with that seed is extremely important. Are you there?
You know, we can't do anything without seed. We can't even feed ourselves.
No, we can't.
So when you stop and think about the parables of the sower, mm-hmm. and how you reap what you sow.
Right.
And those kinds of parables that we're left with, they're wonderful teaching tools for us, and we need to review them over and over and see how it fits in our lives. It'll fit our lives in a different way every single day.
Right.
And we need to understand that we cannot get through this world without the seeds of Jesus Christ
Amen.
Loving us. And
Amen.
That's very difficult for people to understand because, as you were speaking earlier, we get told almost from infancy that you're going to be broken poor your whole life.
Right.
I guess in a lot of ways that's kind of relative. What meant one person may seem to be poor may be somebody else's treasure. I treasure very highly people who are spiritual.
Yes.
And whose prosperity comes from knowing Jesus Christ and that they have planted
Amen.
Their life's work into seeds
right.
of good ministry, good missions,
yes.
good ways of outreach to other people.
Yes.
And he keeps me fed.
Right. Amen.
You know, I'm one of those individuals that lives on a retirement situation and from my teaching profession as well as a disability.
Right.
And, you know, I don't make a lot of money in the whole wide world anymore.
Right.
But I live very prosperously.
Right.
I am filled with peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
I am filled with joy.
Yes.
I am filled Woo. With just everything, all the blessings that God has to give me.
Amen.
My soul is enriched.
Yes.
You know, and when I plant a dollar or two or whatever it might be and using a dollar as a figure of speech.
Right.
Simply because it's one of our smallest denominations.
Right.
If you put that into somebody, if you believe in somebody.
Right.
And you put that into something or somebody, or you help a new ministry begin. Maxine and I do a lot of that.
Right.
We work with new ministries
yeah.
and try to help them get started because for us, it seems as if God has given us the word to do that.
Right.
To help this ministry move forward, to do what we can with this ministry. If it's nothing more than wearing a T-shirt with that ministry's name on it and having people stop and talk to us.
Right.
We're taking the seeds that he has given us and taking them into the community.
Exactly.
But as we all know, you can't do that without some kind of support financially. And
right.
God looks out for each and every one of us if we ask him. And so many times people are getting blessed financially, and they don't know how to appreciate it.
Right.
They don't know where it came from. They don't know what
they don't give
to do
God
with
the
it.
Glory and the praise, you know, for the
yeah,
for the job they do have.
And do wild and hairy crazy things. And
yeah.
it really is not going to be on their tombstone who dies with the most toys wins.
Exactly. Exactly.
Who dies that has transplanted
Woo.
Into every ministry that they possibly can, every good work that they can find, a little bit of hope, a little bit of faith, a little bit of love, and financially to push it on.
Carol, I got to tell you, you are so right. And I've got to tell a little story that happened to me years back in my church in Indiana, Cornerstone Ministry. We had gone through a rough time. Some of our givers, there were a couple people that had left the church. They were discontented, and that happens in churches. But anyway, we were going through a rough time financially. And I remember a Monday morning very specifically, one of the people that had left the ministry was actually the treasurer. And so I walked into the office and opened the file cabinet, unlocked it where the checkbook was, and saw how bad things really were. I mean, it was really bad. We had a mortgage on a big building. We had a lot of things to pay and bills to pay. And Carol, I remember that day because I believe these principles that I'm teaching today. These are not just things that, oh, well, this sounds like a good idea. This, I've lived this all my life. And I remember sitting there, Carol, and I started writing out checks to other ministries, not our ministry. From our checkbook, I started writing out money to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Kenneth Hagan, Marilyn Hickey, Derek Prince. I wrote about 10 checks that day. Now, I didn't mail them until they were good, okay?
Yeah.
We're not advocating that people write checks that they're going to bounce, you know, no. But I wrote them out in faith. I took them, and I prayed over them, and I took them to the church body at the next service, and I said, here's what I've done. Now, we're going to believe God for the money to mail these. And, of course, all the money came in immediately to mail every one of those checks. Those were seeds that I was planting into other ministries And we came right out of that financial problem. We came right out of it. Within a couple weeks, things began to turn around, and we were blessed financially. That's what we're talking about here, Carol.
You know, it's vitally important for human beings to understand we have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We came onto this earth by design.
Amen.
Not by accident. I don't care what your parents tell you. It was not an accident. They
right.
may have made it an accident, but you as an individual, wherever you are and whoever you are not an accident. You
Amen.
Are here by divine appointment.
Amen.
And
Amen.
You have a responsibility.
Yes.
You have a divine appointment to do what God has asked you to do.
Amen.
He's blessed you with talents. He's blessed you with money.
Yes.
He's blessed you with the ability to speak to people, the
Amen.
Ability to be empathetic, the ability to be compassionate, the ability to be understanding.
Right.
All of those things. Those are gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
To take in His world and use them where you see the need.
Yes.
We are givers by nature, but yet we have become takers and not givers.
Right.
Because we're so afraid we're going to run out. I got news for you.
That's fear.
You know, I have people from ministries that call me and pastors and talk to me, and they want new windows for the church, but they don't have the money to get them. But the
right.
church windows are awful. Rain's coming in, ice hits it, whatever it might be. Or they want to start a feeding ministry, but they don't have any money to start a feeding
right.
ministry.
Right.
So they call me and say, can you brainstorm with me? And I said, well, I'll tell you this. And they said, we have no finances. We can't do anything. And I look at them. I can't see them because they're on the phone. And I say to them, you must be kidding me.
Right.
And they're like, no, Carol, really, we have nothing. And my answer to them is, I know a man
right.
that has all the sheep on the hill, that has all the cattle on the hill.
Amen.
He is perfectly willing to give you the money to plant it in a good soil.
Amen.
You got to ask him for it, and you got to know he's going to give it to you. And then you've got to bless others the way he has blessed you.
Exactly. In
when
other words,
say, I want this, but I can't get it because I don't have the money. We're saying to God, well, I guess once again, you're not hearing me.
Right. We've got to plant in faith, believing that God is going to bring that crop up. You know, that's what you're saying, Carol, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it you're saying
that's
plant
exactly
in
it.
Faith?
Now, we've got to plant knowing.
Yes,
we
knowing.
Don't necessarily, you know, we don't have to know how it pops out of the ground.
Right.
We don't have to know everything.
Well, we just played the song by Ray Bolts, and he's one of my, I love this guy. The song, Here Comes a Miracle, that is declaring that a miracle is coming. And we've got to line ourselves up with the fact that God wants to bless us prosperity in every area of our lives, in our health, in our emotions, in our finances, in all our relationships. God wants to bless us. That is His desire for us. Here comes a miracle. We've got to accept that, and we've got to believe that that is what God is doing in our lives. This talk about prosperity, we got a whole lot more to talk about in this next hour. Carol, don't go anywhere. Stay with us. We got to do some station identification.
WPAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are active in Clearwater, Florida, and this ministry reaches around the globe. Through the years, we have sent out well over 30,000 CDs of my sermons. We have, Bill's going, really? Yeah. Back when we were doing a lot of CDs, that was before our radio ministry. Now, we have all these radio shows on our website. So that is where people can get the teaching around the globe without us mailing all those CDs anymore.
So when they say a financial contribution,
right,
they would get a CD.
Well, that's what used to happen, yeah.
Oh, that's what used to happen.
Yeah, and now we say, hey, go to our website, listen to any of these radio shows.
Oh, wow.
And if if they speak to you and they bless you, go to PayPal right there on our website.
Excellent.
And give an offering. You know, that's what we're saying.
Can I get an update on the Letters to Lori?
Letters to Lori book is doing great. It
okay.
really is. Thank you for asking. And we just got money today at church to be able to send another, what was it? I think we're sending out 25 more copies tomorrow to the prison, aren't we, Carol?
It's over 80 copies that have been sent.
Right. There's.
And you know what? That's a ministry.
That is.
I mean, it didn't start, it didn't, wasn't written with that in mind.
We had no idea.
To give your daughter encouragement.
Yes.
And to make her understand through God's blessing of her how blessed with him she really is.
Right.
And what her life can be like if she makes him the major factor.
Right.
And look what it's done.
Oh.
It has gone wild. Everybody that reads it, you know, wants to pass it on to somebody else. And if the people that are listening want a copy of that book, they can contact beaconofhopeministries.com.
Yeah, our
and
website.
That will be taken care of and sent to them.
Absolutely.
So you see, Bill, it wasn't just that period of time and everybody else that's listening. When those 30,000 discs went out.
Yeah. You were a part of that, Carol.
Yes. People from Africa.
Yeah,
we would
all
get
over.
Phone calls.
You
we
would not
get
believe.
Letters, emails from people from Africa, from Asia, from the continental United States, and from other parts of the world. I heard your ministry. I heard about your ministry. And those CDs were sent out. Some of those people had no money to make a contribution.
Well, free of charge.
They had a desire.
Yeah. Yeah.
To know Christ. They were going to plant seeds in their village. They wanted to hold a little Bible study. They wanted their own lives to be changed.
Right.
You know, it takes us a long time as human beings to figure out we're not in this alone.
Right.
And that we can be a part of something.
Well, and Carol,
and that we constantly need to improve ourselves every single day. Be in the Word, stay in the Word, live the Word, preach the Word, teach the Word, share the Word.
And that's why we do this radio show. You know, it started out almost four years ago in April. It'll be 4 years. In fact, February 6th, which is Super Bowl Sunday, will be our 200th show. Can you believe that?
Oh. Very hard to believe. Started out as a dream, if you recall.
It did. It started out on a 60-minute show, and we were just so excited about that. And then it went to 90 minutes, and now it's 2 hours. And we have no clue, all the people that hear this broadcast. Every once in a while, somebody stops me out somewhere or says, hey, I caught your show the other day, or somebody told me you have a radio show. Tell me about it. And we encourage you to tell other people about this broadcast. And you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and catch all the shows from 2010, which and some of the others, the older ones, too. So that means you can listen in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you're sitting in your jammies. Right, Carol?
That's right. And, you know, sometimes I will go on and listen to some of the shows because you and I well know it's doing this. We don't hear what we're doing.
Right.
We don't even... People, I hate to tell you, but most of the time we fly by the seat of our pants.
Well, of course we do. We fly by the Holy Spirit.
The relationship that you and I have on this radio program is totally led by the Holy Spirit. We don't prepare anything other than Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just flows because he has a message. And we're the willing messengers.
Amen.
We hear it. We will say it. We trust it. We believe it. We know it to be the truth.
Amen.
And if that's planting in good soil, then by golly, we've got some seeds coming up.
Amen. So it is about believing what God's word says. Carol, the reason we do this every week, I've had people say to me, don't you miss some of the football games during football season that you can't see because you're here at the radio station? Of course I do, you know? But the greater goal in my life is to get the word of God out there, you know? And get it out there in such a way that people understand it. One of the things about Beacon of Hope Ministries is our goal is practical Christian living at a level where people can say, I can do that. Oh, I understand that. Oh, I finally got that.
You know the nice thing? The Bible is never used as a weapon.
Exactly.
It's never held above your head.
Right.
It's never slammed down on your podium and screaming that it's, you know, that God is an evil God. It's never that.
It's never like that.
It's uplifting. The Bible
Amen.
Is held up and said, this is the living water of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
At Beacon of Hope, there's no malice toward anybody, regardless of who they are.
Right. Everybody's welcome.
Everybody is welcome. It does not matter if you are lost, strayed, or stolen, and you want to find who you are. If your life is in shambles and you don't know what to do or how to do it, You know, you aren't led to Beacon of Hope simply because you're following a little pink trail down the road. You're led there by divine intervention.
By the Holy Spirit. Sunday mornings.
Go to this place. And you will realize when you get in there, you're home. Because
Amen.
You feel the unconditional love of the congregation for each other and for you as a stranger walking in that door. You may come as a stranger, but you leave as a friend.
Ooh, amen. Sunday mornings at 11, like this morning, and Wednesday night at 7, Bible study. We want you to grab your Bible if you are just now joining us. We are talking about prosperity today, that God wants to bless you financially. It starts with a word. Let's if you have a pen and a paper, write this word down, believe. It's all about believing. Listen to this song by the Katinas, Believe. Matthew chapter 9, there were two blind men that followed Jesus, and they kept following him, and they followed him home, and they went right into the house with him. I'm in Matthew 9, verse 27. Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe I can do this?" Because they were crying out to Jesus, "Mercy, mercy, Son of David." Jesus said, "Do you really believe I can do this?" And they said, "Why, yes, Master." Jesus said, "Do you believe?" They said, "Yes." Okay. He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." And it happened. They saw. They were restored to sight. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. My dear friend Carol, one of our radio team, is on the air with us today. Carol, Jesus said to them, do you believe that I can do this? And they said, why, yes, sir. Yes, I do. And we just played that song about believing. It is what you believe. I think that so many people have been sold a bill of goods by the devil through maybe, I don't know, their upbringing, maybe growing up in homes where there was a lot of poverty, where they feel like they're never, ever going to get on top financially. And God's word says he wants to prosper us. And the book of 3 John, verse 2 says, I wish above all things, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Carol, would you talk about that verse?
Well, I know that God wants to prosper us. He wants to make sure that we have the things that we need. He did
Amen.
Not throw us into a barren land.
Mm-hmm.
He threw us into a land of plenty.
Amen.
And we still live in that land of plenty. But we're not always resourceful in what we do and how we do it and what we preserve and what we don't preserve.
Right.
We have to learn through our time on this earth that times change.
Right.
Situations change. But the prosperity of God never changes.
That's right.
His desire for us to be prosperous in him never changes.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want us to live in abject poverty regardless of who we are.
Right.
He wants us to be wealthy in a condition. It may not necessarily mean everybody has $1 million. I'm not talking that. But he wants us to be wealthy in health, knowledge and love of him, and faith for him, knowing that he will always provide for us what we need. You know, there's nothing more discouraging than to go to a medical facility, for instance, and they vaguely look at you and tell you that it doesn't look good, you're in a bad way.
Right.
And then they want to send you out the door.
Right.
And you have, at that instant, you don't know where to go, what to turn to, who
right.
to leave.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't have God in your life, you can't grab onto that.
Mm-hmm.
Just wander aimlessly in your mind. But he wants to prosper, so he gives us the idea to seek him, go through a church, go through a ministry somewhere, and find the one that fits your needs.
Right.
And stay there and prosper. Pick up scripture and read it.
Amen.
And find out what he intends for you.
Amen.
So when people throw their hands up and say, there's nothing else we can do, that's when he steps in.
Amen.
And that's when he says, I can do it. And I will do it if you believe and have the faith of a mustard seed.
Well, let's go back to the seed thing then, because I agree with everything you just said. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because here Paul is teaching the church at Corinth, and he's saying God loves a not a stingy planter, but a planter of seed that seed, they just put a whole lot out there. You know, it has everything to do with what we plant, what we reap. Right, Carol?
That's right. You know, if you plant corn, you're not going to get tomatoes.
Exactly. So if you're planting money, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get money.
You're going to receive what you planted.
Exactly. You are going
You'll
to get back.
It 10 times 10.
Well, God's word says, and some of you that have a paper out there, write this down. Luke 6:38 says this. Luke 6:38. It's a very important scripture when it comes to finances. Luke 6:38. Jesus said this. It's read in your Bible. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the measure you deal out, it is measured back to you in return. Carol, talk to me about Luke 6:38.
Well, I have a story about Luke. I was telling Maxine earlier about a story when I was living in Florida, and I was pretty well dirt dog broke.
Okay.
I was teaching school, but I was dirt dog broke at that moment because I also had a ranch, and there were needs that superseded my salary at times.
Okay.
And I had come to the end of the month, and I had a week left, so I went to a friend. Now, God taught me a very valuable lesson about this.
Okay.
I went to a friend whose ranch was next to mine. I had a watch that she had admired for a long time. I took my watch off and said, Mary, I would like to borrow $25 against this watch for till Friday. This was on a Sunday afternoon. And she wanted the watch, and I knew that she did. But she told me, I have no money. I can't give you $25. I'd never ask anybody for anything. And I thought, oh, well, I made a mistake. Why did I do this? Why was I foolish enough to ask somebody else to advance me a loan? About that time, a young man drove up with a beaten-down, rattle-trap Jeep truck.
Okay.
And he said, I want $50 for it. She took $50 cash out of her pocket and handed it to him. Now, the lesson that I learned, and I think the lesson that Luke has here, is that, number one, I don't put my faith in human beings.
Right.
They
yeah.
do not save me in any way. They can't
right.
save my life
right.
eternally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may be able to if I drop into a heart attack or whatever, but they cannot save my life eternally.
Right.
And the second thing I learned is on the way home, I had to leave very quickly. I had hot tears running down my face.
Well,
she
it
never
was,
saw.
It was
I got
hurtful.
In my truck. I drove to the front gate, opened it, and closed it with hot, hot tears running down my face.
Sure.
Tears of anguish. And they're always very hot and scalding.
Well, it's humiliating. It was humiliating.
On the way home, I said, Lord, I just trust you to do what you do. And I had some puppies. I had Boston Terrier puppies. One little puppy was promised to somebody. A friend called me that day. As soon as I got back to my ranch, they called me and said, our son is turning 3 today. We want him to get him one of your puppies. And they said, could we come get a puppy? I said, yes. And I'd been selling the puppies for $200. And I'm not a breeder. But I'd been selling the puppies for $200. So he said to me, I'll bring the $200. I said, no, you won't. You bring me $25.
Yeah.
$25. And he would not believe it. When he got there, I said, don't you leave another penny in this house. I want $25. And I took the $25. That $25 never ran out for that whole week. I bought the gas. I bought animal feed. I fed myself. I gave money to other people from that $25.
Wow.
So God says, I will bless you as
right.
you have blessed others.
Well, and that
and I
is
will provide.
Well, that's a good lesson because so often we and if you're writing things down, dear one, write this down, that we have got to not fall into the trap of trying to figure out how God is going to get money to us. And see, so often we try to figure it out. We'll go to so-and-so and say, loan me this. Or we'll try to say, okay, God's going to provide for me through this right over here. This, I'm going to get extra hours at work. Or this is going to happen. Or that's going to happen. And God says, let's quit trying to figure out how God's going to do it and simply trust that God is going to do it, that he's your source, he's your supplier, not how he's going to do it. Obviously, he didn't provide for you through that lady,
no.
even though she lied to you and had money in her pocket.
Yes, but it taught me something. It was a lesson I had not learned at that point to
right.
its entirety. I learned I cannot trust on another human being to do for me what God will do for me if I ask.
Exactly, exactly.
I had to ask.
Right.
And he wanted to bless
yes.
me, and I know that he did, but I had to ask it, and I had to understand that friends are wonderful, and I love the ones I have, but, you know, they cannot and will not always come through in a pinch.
That's exactly right.
Because we're all human, and we all want to hold back that last dime for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't have to hold back anything. He has every sheep that ever walked on the hill.
Totally. Let's go back.
You know? And he's willing to hand it over to us.
Absolutely. Look at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 9, because it's very interesting. It goes right along with what we're saying here. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. Now, back up right before that, let's go to verse 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians 9, Carol. And it says this, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. And I'm going to pull out my little NIV, New American or New International Version Bible here, and read it there. Do you have it? Okay.
Yes, I do.
All right, start there.
Reading 6.
Verse 6.
And the title of it is Sowing Generously.
Yeah.
Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Go on.
And as it is written in verse 9, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever.
Go on and read the next two also.
Now he supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God.
Woo! That's 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. Mark it on your paper or in your Bible. All right. God starts all that through the Apostle Paul by saying, remember this. Okay, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Talk to me about that, Carol.
Well, it's kind of the old principle that farmers use. If you sow sparingly, then you're not going to have enough to get through the winter.
Okay.
And if people in Georgia and people in southern states, and I'm sure all over the world, will sow so that they can plan ahead for the months that the crops aren't coming in.
Okay.
You sow abundantly. And part of that abundance and part of the wealth of being a sower is that you give away.
That's it.
Of everything else. You open your fields and people glean the fields.
Right.
When I plant my garden in my backyard, since day one that I arrived up here that spring, I planted my first garden here. My neighbor laughed at me because it was just Georgia clay. And my neighbor, who is a man who's lived his lifetime in Georgia, and he always has beautiful gardens, and he laughed at me and said, it ain't never going to make nothing. And I said, Charlie, this garden will feed me, you, and anybody else that cares to come.
Woo.
Don't you know it did? It was beautiful. It was green. It was lavish.
Yeah.
It was an overflow of produce. And I called everybody that I knew, which was very limited to family mostly, and said, I don't have to be here. Go behind the house. Get what you need.
Right.
And if you know someone else who needs, take more for them. We went all over our neighborhood dispersing food. We couldn't give it away. It kept growing more and more and more.
Woo!
And it's been that way ever since. And he was astonished. He said, how did you do that? I said, I didn't do it. I said, I trusted God to know what the needs around me were.
Exactly. Exactly. And what you're saying here is you were faithful to do your part, which was plant the seed.
That's right.
And then
and
you trust God.
You plant it with faith.
That's
every
where believing
farmer,
comes in.
Every gardener will tell you that little tiny seed you hold in your hand
right.
will blossom into a food supply. It will come into trees. It's an amazing event that takes place with tiny seeds. From that seed and brown earth will grow feed.
Well, and the
like
devil,
animals and people.
Well, the devil tries to come and steal seed and try to destroy your crop. And that may have been what's happened to some of you listening today, that your maybe the money from your job, it just doesn't go far enough. Maybe some of your seed is being devoured by the enemy because the devil wants to steal your seed. Maybe you've had huge medical bills. Maybe you've had unexpected expenses, but God wants to supply. Carol, it reminds me of my son Ryan, and you've seen the pictures. He works for a seed corn company up in Indiana, and he travels and he teaches. He's an agronomist, my oldest son, and he goes to farmers, great big farms, and he analyzes what is wrong with the crop, you know?
Yes.
And then he tells them, okay, we need to switch this seed next year, or we need to add this type of insecticide or fertilizer or whatever in order to give the best crop. And we can put that in spiritual terms too, because we look at our lives financially, and if we are not planting into God's kingdom, okay, our seed is just like blowing in the wind. Do you want to amplify on that?
I certainly do. I think that, you know, we've got to be able to understand when Ryan goes as an agronomist and he analyzes the seed and the condition of the soil, the lay of the land, all of that, it's a metaphor And it right. can't, his life can be a metaphor for how God examines us.
Right.
Are we ready to accept his word? Are we ready to step forward and spread the seed?
Right.
Do we need more growth? Do we even recognize who he is? You know, we're told in Revelations 3:29, look, I've been standing at the door, and I'm constantly knocking.
Amen.
If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in mm-hmm. and fellowship with him,
right.
and he with me. He's knocking on our door all the time. He's saying to us, you want a blessing? You mm-hmm. want to be prosperous? Mm-hmm. You want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise? Come to me. I've been standing here banging on your door, calling your name. When are you going to open and let me in? Let me examine you. And you examine
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
You know, test me. You know, he's constantly telling us, test me.
He says that in Malachi chapter 3, 8 to 11. Test me. Try me now in this. And see if I will not pour you out a blessing so big you're not even going to know what to do with it. And that's the result of giving and planting our seed in the places that God tells us to plant.
You know, in Malachi 3:6-12, it's talking about tithing, the
right.
ability to
That's
give,
what
the
it
desire
is.
To give,
yes.
the knowledge to give
yes.
in your tithing. One tenth of what you have. And that's a paltry, a small amount, truthfully. But the message, the first message of Malachi is really that God loves us.
Exactly. He does. And he says
he
that.
He wants us to have all these things. It's
Ooh.
Us, our humanness, our stubbornness, our uneducatedness that keeps us from knowing who he is and wanting to serve him, from wanting to reach out into a ministry. There's a ministry up here that's predominantly men. There are a few women that one of the small Baptist churches has taken this ministry on as a sub-ministry of their church, bringing in people who have been disassociated because of alcoholism, any sin that you can imagine, I suppose, runs their gamut, bringing people in a small structure, feeding them first.
Yeah.
Hungry. They're on the street, and they're
yeah.
hungry.
Right.
And the pastor's been smart enough to teach his congregation to realize these people that are roaming around, living on park benches, hiding under railroad trestles, living in culverts, number one, they're hungry. They're hungry for the natural food that man provides through God's grace, and then they're hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
So wisely, this small ministry is called a scarlet thread. This small ministry brings people in to feed their physical bodies, and afterwards they sing songs of praise and
praise God.
And then the word is spoken over them in a small sermon.
Woo.
They realize the power of love. And Malachi tells us that this church, this small, tiny ministry, is giving, tithing back the way God has given them. And
Amen.
They're putting fingers out in the community, and it's making a change and a difference.
Wow, that's fantastic. Listen to this song, and then Carol, stay with me. By Mike's Chair, Let the Waters Rise.
Don't know where to begin. It's like my world's caving in. And I try, but I can't control my fear. Where do I go from here? Sometimes it's so hard to pray when you feel so far away. But I am willing to go where you want me to. God, I trust you. And there's a raging sea right in front of me. Wants to pull me.
Raging sea, right in front of me.
Praise God, it's all about following Him and following His direction and leading in our lives. We are talking today on Living the Good Life about prosperity, about giving, about tithing, about what God's Word says to us about our finances. And
did you know that,
we're supposed to follow
Him.
Did you
know that in the 38 parables that Jesus talked about, 16 are about money? And the Bible has more than 300 verses on prayer.
Yep.
Less than 500 verses on faith, and 2,000 verses dealing with wealth and possessions.
Whoa! No, I didn't know that. Thank you for that statistic.
We can draw the conclusion, that financing and our wealth and our tithing is, in general, one of the most important things to me. It's 2,000 verses to tell us about it.
Ow. Wow.
Our finances are a big deal to God.
Oh, golly.
Our possessions are big deals to God. You know, He tells us to bring in our storehouse, and then we take one-tenth, and we cannot go through and be El Taco and hand out the 10 sheep that are crippled.
Well, exactly. Malachi chapter 3 is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And our engineer just came in and asked me a question. He says, is that okay to test God? Bill, didn't you just ask that? And this is the only place in the Word where God says, try me now in this. Test
That's
me.
Right.
Try me and see if I'm telling you the truth. And so Malachi 3, and I've got my NIV here. Malachi 3, starting, he said, you've robbed God. Now, by the way, dear one, if you're not tithing your income, you're robbing God. You say, oh, Pastor, that's very strong. Guess what? That's very true.
That's right.
That's what Malachi 3:8 says. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. And you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse. Interestingly enough, when we rob God and we don't give Him what is rightfully His, we are actually walking under a curse that we ourselves have done. And so let's look at verse, I think it's 10. Is it, Carol? 10? Bring the whole tithe. Is that what you have right there?
Yeah.
Why don't you read 10, 11, and 12 for us?
Okay, hang on just a second. Pick up a different Bible here. I have a bazillion sitting around me, so I can reference each of them.
I'm in the NIV here in Malachi 3, verse 10.
Okay. Let me find it again. I've lost it somehow.
Bring the whole tithe.
I'm in the wrong Bible. I had it marked in something else.
Okay, while you're looking for that, let me read verse 10, and then you can comment. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? The storehouse is the place where you are fed, where you are fed spiritually. If this radio show is where you receive your spiritual blessings, then you need to be supporting this radio show, frankly. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me. There it is, Bill. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. That's it right there, Carol.
And I have some notes here in my Bible, and it says, time, money, talents, gifts, attendance, are all tithes we pledge to share when we allow God through Jesus to guide us.
Right.
God sent the fire to burn the wood of humanity.
Right.
And the blind sheep can't see, and God knows that they're blind, just as He knows that we are blind without knowledge of Him.
Right.
And we should seek and delight in Him, Malachi 3:1.
And so often we don't know the truth on this subject of giving because we haven't been taught or we haven't bothered to learn it. And God is saying to us, this is very serious. Your money is very serious. Do you want to come out of your financial problems? Then you need to get this stuff down on the inside of you and realize that God says, test me now in this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that you will be blessed and there will be food in my house, which means that there will be the word going forth and you're receiving it.
Well, you know, we're told, and I'm looking at the Max Lucado Bible at this moment, that money, if money is the gauge of the heart, then surely the heart, it is the heart of most Americans. In exchange for $10 million, 25% of Americans would abandon their family. In exchange for $10 million, 25% would abandon their church. 25% would become a prostitute for a week. 16% would give up their American citizenship. 16% would leave their spouse. 13% would put their children up for adoption.
Wow.
And even more revealing is what Americans would do for $10 million is the fact that most of them would do something. Two-thirds
wow.
of those polled would agree to at least one of the options.
Whoa.
And Jesus had a word for all of that. When we harbor back the blessings
mm-hmm.
that he has given to us, Jesus had a word for that, and it's not a nice word.
Yeah.
It's greed.
Greed. Absolutely.
And it's an ugly word. You know, even coming out of your mouth, it's
greed.
Like lion.
Right.
Getting ready to attack you.
And don't you think that's where a lot of people are and where they miss the boat financially? Because there, God says, where is your treasure? You know, where is your treasure? And if your treasure is in your bank account, something's wrong. If your treasure is laid up in heaven and you understand that money has a place in your life, you have to have it to pay your rent, your mortgage, your utilities, but that doesn't mean that it should be your first priority or your God, you know?
Definitely should not be. You know, we find out as we try to read more and more about money and finding out what prosperity and all of those things do. Why does money tempt us that we would do something for such terrible motivation?
Right. Exactly.
And greed is, it costs you, if it costs you your faith or your family, don't you think that price is pretty high?
Oh, that's huge. Absolutely.
Well, hanging on to what you think you might need or might want instead of handing over something to somebody else who could use it, such as the church where you, like you say, where you find your peace and your comfort.
Right.
Don't you think it would be better to part with it than to die a greedy individual?
Well, Carol, so often I think the devil has sold so many people a bill of goods that, oh, you don't need to give to church. That's just making some preacher rich or whatever, when it's not like that. In good faith-teaching ministries, it's not about making the pockets of the preacher rich, although there are some abuses like there are in everything. But the whole idea is find a ministry that you trust, that you believe they're teaching you the word of God, and then support it financially. Give and it shall be given unto you. In other words, plant your seed in good soil.
Got to. If you don't, you're not going to have a crop.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And if you don't have
yeah.
a crop, then you're going to starve to death. And if we don't have a relationship with God because we've planted into good soil, we will starve to death for the word.
Well, so often we eat our seed. And by that, I mean, and this is not original with me, it's widely, this phrase, eating our seed, that we make money in our job and we spend every bit of it, you know,
yeah.
instead of planting some of it into the gospel so that it can come back up and provide for you, you know?
Yep.
It, in other words, give and it shall be given unto you. In other words, 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul says, look, don't be a stingy planter, you know, plant bountifully. Don't be planting sparingly. And Paul even says, plant with a cheerful heart. Carol, I want you to talk about that.
Well, planting with a cheerful heart is, I think, that you have just found the beauty in life when you plant with a cheerful heart. You're trying to make yourself a better person by planting into good soil.
Right.
And then you're trying to make the world a better place, a prettier place,
right.
a nicer place. By pretty, I mean a place where people can prosper and understand the blessings of Jesus
right.
and understand their worth and their value to him. You know, he tells us in Malachi, the whole premise of Malachi is love and tithing. If
right.
he loves us so mm-hmm. much, as he continues to tell us that he does, then surely he wants us to plant our prosperity into a good source.
Right.
You know, whatever that source might be for an individual, if it's a local ministry, a worldwide ministry, an international ministry, whatever it might be, wherever you feel you can be a blessing and have been a blessing and have been blessed, then continue to do that.
It's all about the Word of God, you know. You and I were talking as I was driving to the radio station. You said that the whole concept of the living water of God, which is the Word of God, had just been on your heart today. And I told you I thought I had this song on this show. Guess what I do? It's called Living Water by Bob Carlyle. It is all about the living Word of God. And let's listen to it, and then Carol will wrap it all up here in the next few minutes.
I feel your touch, I can feel your heart as I'm lying here, alone in the dark. I hear your voice gently say, come to
praise God. Flood through my soul and pour out a blessing. Living water. Carol, that's all we're talking about. The living water of God's Word.
You know, when we're talking about prosperity and how we should do our tithing.
Yes.
Remember that we were told to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Mm-hmm. Right. Pay our taxes, in other
words. Right. And do what we are supposed to do financially.
Right.
There are some financial things that we simply must do. And in order to be a person in the world, we must do those.
Well,
but
we have to.
One thing that
go
we
ahead.
Must do is also take our monies and give back to God what is rightfully
His. Exactly.
We must serve Him carefully.
Yeah.
And we must give a portion of the gift that He has given us back to Him. And we have to take our tenth into the storehouse. And if we can and will, add more. So many times, and I know this has happened with you and for other strong Christians out there, so many times you sit in the church and you're listening to a sermon and they're getting ready to bring the offering cup around or the plate, and you're sitting there going, okay, I normally tithe, and you have your amount of your tithe, whoever you might be, and you do it each week or each month, however you choose to do it. And then you are sitting there, and as the plate comes closer to you, you hear this urging and this nudge that God says, put 40 more in there today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, yeah. I've had that happen.
And if you know you must, because mm-hmm. we recognize His voice. Those of us who hear it and are familiar with it, we recognize it.
Exactly.
It's kind of like you walk into a room of 100 people, and you may not know anybody in there but one person. And out of that 100 voices speaking, you hear the one person you know, your
right.
friend's voice, your family member's voice.
Right.
We hear God's voice in a room of 100 people. We can be sitting there with people just sitting in their pew every Sunday in
their pew.
Pew,
yeah.
But what takes them away and what distracts them? What keeps them from hearing God's voice if indeed He is speaking to them to do more? To do more.
So often it's just our own, I can't do it, you know, my doubt, my fear, my anxiety, whatever that might be. And you are exactly right. I want to go back now and read that 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 in the Message Bible, because I think maybe it'll help somebody out there. Because this is what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over. And make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sub-stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. I love that, Carol. In other words, if you plant with a stingy heart and you go, God, I don't want to give this. I just can't give this. You're not cheerful. You're not happy about writing the check. You're doing it because you think that God will strike you with a lightning bolt if you don't do it. If you have the wrong attitude, you're going to get. If you have a stingy attitude when you give, you're going to get a stingy crop. That's what the word says.
Well, you know, back in 2 Corinthians 6, we are workers together with God.
Right.
So we beg you, do not let the grace that you receive from God be for nothing.
Right.
God says, at the right time, I heard your prayers on the day of salvation. I
uh-huh.
helped you.
Yes.
At the right time, we heard His voice.
Right.
We planted a larger crop. At the right time, we harvested a larger crop.
Amen.
We must do those things.
We must do it.
You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'd rather give any gift away than to receive one.
Right.
I don't receive graciously. I'm almost embarrassed to receive.
Well,
I know that I should.
Yeah.
But I find it the need of someone handing me a gift, their need I know is greater than mine.
Exactly.
And I know it comes from their heart, so I will willingly accept that. But I would much prefer to be able to just run helter-skelter into the wind and hand out 10 times more than they gave me.
Give, give, give. You know, sometimes, and it's been my experience through life, sometimes God has you give things that you're just shocked about. I had to give a refrigerator once, Carol. God told me to give away a refrigerator. There's been things in my life that I've given that I'm just like, whoa.
Wonder why you were sent with that message. You know?
Yeah, you're just like, whoa, God.
You don't know what the need was.
Exactly.
You don't know what these people have asked for. I always say to people, when you ask for an angel, be careful what you get.
Well, and you know, the whole thing is being obedient here. This is what the bottom line for prosperity. If you've heard the word of God today, you can go back tomorrow. This show will be on our website after about noon tomorrow. And you can listen to this show as many times as you want and get the word down on the inside of you. But one of the keys to prosperity is your attitude. And that's what Paul says here. If you give with a stingy heart, you're going to get a stingy return. If you give with a willing, cheerful heart and you say, God, I want to write this tithe check. Wow, I get to write this tithe check. You know, I'm joyful because I get to write this, you know. If that's your attitude, it's going to come back to you joyfully. That's what we're saying, Carol. Don't you? You know what I'm saying? I know,
sure.
You know.
You know, when we can give to other people, other sources, other resources that people reach toward and forward, it only comes back to bless us. Sometimes
Amen.
That blessing is a smile.
Right.
Sometimes that blessing is a hug. Sometimes that blessing is something that we didn't realize we needed.
Right.
And it's given to us, and we're like, oh, my goodness. Sometimes we give and we give and we give our last dime, and we think, oh, boy, I don't know if that were a good idea or not, but I'm just going to fall back on God's grace.
Exactly.
And we open up our mailbox and find a $40 check.
Woo! Exactly. That's my point right there. Because when we give with the right attitude, and we give because God says, test me now in this. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so big you're not even going to know how to receive it all. When we do that because God's word says to do it, and we're convinced, when Jesus said to the blind man, what is it you need here? Do you believe I can heal your blindness? They said, yes, Lord, we believe. Okay. Now, dear listeners, do you believe God can heal your financial problems? I'm going to answer this out loud and hope you agree with me right now. Yes, God, we believe you can heal our financial problems as we learn what your word says about your desires for us and prosperity. Woo, Carol, give me some final thoughts. The clock is winding up towards 6.
Well, I will put the same challenge that God put out there. Trust me. And test me.
Yeah.
And I've tested him.
Yeah.
And he's come through.
Oh,
he's
amen.
Never let me down.
Amen.
I've never faltered or failed when
right.
he was in the picture.
Right.
During the time of one of my injuries, I was out of work for 2 years, teaching school for 2 years I was out. I did not have a check for 2 years.
Wow.
I had no money coming into my home for 2 years, and I paid every bill that I owed, and I never missed a tithe check.
Wow.
Now, try to explain that in human terms.
Right.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
It's God's faithfulness to me, my faithfulness to him, and he kept me going for those 2 years until such time as I received my salary back.
Right. Well, and see.
I had to. I had no one to turn to, and I'd already learned that $25 watch lesson.
That's exactly right. And so the bottom line of this is we trust God. The bottom line is we believe God's word. The bottom line of this is we're going to do it God's way. And God says, try me in this, learn to tithe. Some people say, well, you have no idea what my bills are. Honestly, try, sit down and figure it out. And I will say this. Write God's check first before you pay your bills. Write God's check first. Try that and see what happens and see if he will not bless you in incredibly wonderful ways. Carol, you got time for about a minute and a half of a final thought.
Well, we all like to play games. You know, that seems to be the American way, is to play games and have fun. And sometimes you can't go outside because the weather's inclement and you can't play those games outside. So pick up your Bible, read it, study it, look at it, write a list of things you want to test God on, and start. He won't fail. He's always there. He loves you. He will provide for you, and he will carry on the blessings one by one that you ask him for.
Amen. And I would encourage people, when you start this process of really believing God for your finances and saying, okay, God, I'm going to dig in the word and I'm going to learn what your word says about my finances. get a notebook, get something, write it down. Write down every paycheck that comes in, every dollar that comes into you. Keep notes of how much you give to God on it. Keep track of it. Every time you see, I've been encouraging our people at Beacon, every time you see a paycheck in your mailbox or you see a paycheck that comes across your bank statement electronically and you open up your bank statement and there is your paycheck. Some people are paid that way. Whenever you have a check in your hand that is your seed. Okay. And decide purpose in your heart what belongs to God and write that check and write it first and plant it in good soil. That's what we're saying here. Plant it in good soil. We, of course, want you to plant in Beacon of Hope Ministries. It is good soil. It is all about the Word of God. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to PayPal. And plant your seed, plant your finances, and see what God does. Carol, thank you so much for being on the air with me again today. I just appreciate you so much and your wealth of wisdom. And that old gray hair of yours, that old gray head has lived a long time, hasn't it?
It's lived a long time and learned a lot of God's lessons and appreciate everyone. Didn't appreciate some of them when I was going through them, but I've learned that he has tested me, and so far I've stood the test.
And, Carol, you can't outgive God, can you?
Never.
You know?
He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He blesses you more than you could ever imagine. And all he wants back from you is the love and to be able to follow his direction and guidance.
Okay. Thank you so much, my friend, and we'll see you soon. And thank you, Carol. And dear ones, we, as always, we're so glad that you have joined us on Living the Good Life here at Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are a global ministry. We are not just Clearwater, Florida. We are a global ministry. We are located in a beautiful facility, however, in Clearwater, Florida. It's at 3700 Almerton. If you're in the area, it's very easy to find. We're in a strip mall at the very end. And in the same mall as Five Guys and some great food, Papa John's and Poncheros and all that, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, easy to find, a major highway. You are welcome Sunday mornings at 11 for our worship service, Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. Bring your Bible, notebook. We set up tables. You can bring your supper, your dinner, and eat. A lot of people come straight from work, so we welcome you to do that, and it's a relaxed atmosphere on Wednesday night where you can just learn the word, participate. It's interactive. We want you to join us Wednesday night at 7, Sunday morning at 11. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about us. Also, if you have a prayer need, we welcome you to write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We will get your request out there, and it'll go to a huge prayer team. If you want to be a part of that prayer team, write and say, put me on that prayer team. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We'll get you on the prayer team, too. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, the senior pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries, and bringing you the Word of God, as always, on this Sunday afternoon. And tell a friend and tell them they can go and to our website and listen to the shows, beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. Have a great week. If you need to talk to me, write me. The easiest way to get my attention, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. Have a great week. We hope to see you soon at one of our services in Clearwater if you're in the area. God bless you. Have a great week.